Our scripture reading tonight will be found in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 1 through 7. 2 Corinthians 5, verses 1 through 7. There Paul writes, "For we know that if the earthly tent, which is our house, is torn down, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For indeed in this house we groan, longing to be clothed with our dwelling from heaven, inasmuch as we, having put it on, shall not be found naked. For indeed while we are in this tent, we groan, being burdened, because we do not want to be unclothed, but to be clothed in order that what is mortal may be swallowed up by life. Now he who has prepared us for this very purpose is God, who gave to us the Spirit as a pledge. Therefore, being always of good courage and knowing that while we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord, for we walk by faith and not by sight."
First time I've used our new hardware. Second Corinthians 5 and verse 7. "For we walk by faith, not by sight." My subject this evening is not going to be on the subject of faith. This isn't to compete with Mickey's lesson this morning. But actually, I hope it might be in some ways a complement of Mickey's lesson this morning, in that I think sometimes when we study this verse, we have a lot to say about walking by faith, of course, and about the word faith. I think sometimes we overlook the word walk. And so I want to direct my attention this evening to the word walk in this verse. "For we walk by faith, not by sight." And this word walk comes from, if you're interested, from Strong's number 4043. That's the number of the definition of the Greek word peripateo, meaning simply not only to walk, but according to Thayer, to walk, to make one's way, to progress, if you will, to make due use of opportunities. And he adds the note that it's Hebrew for to live, to regulate one's life, to conduct oneself, to pass one's life. So what we're talking about here in verse 7, in terms of the definition of the word walk, is we're talking about how we conduct our lives. Now, let's notice that walk, this word, is about action. Action in our lives. You know, in his first letter to the Corinthians, and in the 9th chapter, in about verse 24, Paul wrote to the Corinthians that, "Know ye not that they that run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize, even so run that ye may attain." And he wrote in his second letter to Timothy in the 4th chapter, "I have finished the race." And Paul compared the life of a Christian to running a race. That denotes action. And let's couple that with our study in Romans, specifically in the 6th chapter of Romans and in verse 4. "Therefore we've been buried with him through baptism into death, in order that as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, so we too might walk in newness of life." So the person who has been baptized, who is now a Christian, that person is in a new and a different state. They conduct their life, if you will. They walk differently, as opposed to their previous walk. And this previous walk was according to the flesh. It wasn't according to the Spirit, but now that they have obeyed the gospel, they walk according to the Spirit. They have died to the old man. And in Romans 8 and 4, I believe that scripture helps to, if you will, define for us what this old walk is and what the new walk is. In Romans 8 and verse 4, "In order that the requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us who do not walk according to the flesh," and we studied that extensively in the 5th chapter of Galatians. All of those works of the flesh listed there, starting in about the 19th verse. Romans 8 and 4 says, "But according to the Spirit." If you walk according to the Spirit, a little later on in the 5th chapter of Galatians, starting at about verse 22, you see the fruits, the manifestations of walking in the Spirit. What you're going to see in that Christian's life. So we walk. There's action. We walk according to the Spirit, or we walk according to the Word of God. In other words, as an example, we walking by the Spirit, we're putting God first in our lives. We're studying the Word of God. We're diligent in prayer. We're diligent and assembling with the saints. We're diligent in trying to teach others. So walk, our walk is an action. It's not idleness. The Christian conducts his or her new life in an active way, in a new and different active way. And God says again and again how Christians must walk. Let's turn to the 2nd chapter of Colossians. And in verse 6, as you therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in Him. We walk in Him. He is the way. We walk in His Word. And in Ephesians, in the second chapter of Ephesians, starting at verse 10, for we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. So we're walking in these good works that have been created by God. And these are the works that justify us, as James wrote in the second chapter. You see how that by works a man is justified and not by faith only. So again, our walk is an active walk. And our walking demonstrates a forward movement. This is another characteristic of our walk. Richard just a few moments ago led the song, number 109, about pressing on. New heights I'm gaining every day. When I hear that song, actually I think about what Peter wrote in his second letter in chapter 1, starting with verse 5, where Peter wrote that in your faith supply virtue, and in your virtue knowledge, and in your knowledge self-control, and in your self-control patience, and in your patience godliness. You're constantly growing and supplying these characteristics. You're constantly growing. You're moving forward. You're constantly growing, as Peter wrote in his second letter in the third chapter in verse 18, but grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To Him be the glory both now and forever. Amen. And in Philippians, the third chapter in verse 14, Paul wrote that he pressed on. And that Greek word there, diako, meaning to press on, it's a figurative word. It means of one who in a race runs swiftly to reach the goal. See, we're moving forward constantly to reach the goal of eternal life, of heaven. So our walk is one that moves forward. It's active, moving forward. Well, I've got to go for the other direction, don't I? I'm sorry for the interruption, but Okay, now, another characteristic of our walk in this verse is that we walk by the roadmap or the standard. You know, most of you know that I like fishing in the Eastern Sierras quite a bit. And some of the hikes that I take in the Eastern Sierras to get to some lakes is just simply cross-country hiking. There's no defined trail. But even though there's no defined trail, you can still find a lake. You can find the lake that you want to get to. You can find that goal if you follow the rule. And the rule is that out of Eastern Sierra Lakes, there are outlet streams. Because those lakes get snow, the snow melts, raises the level of the water, and the water flows out of the lake and forms a stream. So all you do is follow the rule. You get to the stream and follow along the stream and you come to the lake. You reach the goal. You're not going to reach that lake, though. You're not going to reach that goal unless you follow the rule. Let's notice what Paul wrote to the Philippians in the third chapter and in verse 16. Where he said, however, let us keep living by the same standard to which we have attained. Paul told the Philippians to live by a standard. And in verse 17, he said, brethren, join in following my example and observe those who walk, and that's the same word, in 2 Corinthians 5 and 7, according to the pattern you have in us. So there is a standard. There is a pattern. There is a rule, if you will. There is an absolute. And the definitions of these words are somewhat interesting in that the Greek word for standard actually happens to be canon, meaning a measuring rod or a rule. And it's metaphorically used to indicate a standard, a principle, or a law of living, acting. And the word pattern comes from the Greek word typos. And it means an example. And it refers to the pattern, the pattern and conformity to which a thing must be made. And interestingly enough, it also means the teaching which embodies the sum and substance of religion. So we walk, our walk is one that is absolute. It is by a standard. And our walk, our path is straight and well lit. If you'd turn to the second chapter of Galatians and verse 14. We see the use of the word walk in that verse. It's a different Greek word. It's a word orthopodio. And that means, that word means to walk in a straight path. And it's used metaphorically in Galatians 2 and 14, signifying or meaning a course of conduct by which one leaves a straight track for others to follow. But see, those, including Peter in the second chapter of Galatians, they weren't walking orthopodio, so to speak. They weren't walking a straight path. And that's what Paul is writing about. But Paul did walk orthopodio. He walked a straight path. And that path that we walk is well lit. 1 John 1 and verse 7. But if we walk, and again that's our same Greek word, in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. So if we walk in the light, if we walk according to the standard, if we walk in the Word of God, we can see how to travel. You know, it's like in this auditorium here, if we turned out all the lights so that it was pitch black in the auditorium, we couldn't see how to walk. We couldn't see how to go. If you tried to walk from up here where I am out to the foyer, you'd probably run into a pew and bump your knee and hurt yourself, or stub your toe. But if you turn the lights on like they are now, you can clearly see how to walk and how to walk a straight path or a straight course through into the foyer. So this walk that we have is straight and well lit. Even the psalmist had something to say about that. In Psalms 119 and verse 105, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and light unto my path. So again, our path is straight and well lit. And our walk is individual with endurance for a lifetime. In Philippians 2 and 12, Paul wrote, so then, my beloved, even as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now, much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Paul told the Corinthians that their salvation was an individual matter, their own salvation. We can't get to heaven on the basis of what our parents did or what an aunt and uncle did or on what the congregation is doing or what the brotherhood is doing. Notice that in 2 Corinthians 5 and 10 that the judgment is individual. We see that each one may receive the things done in the body according to what he hath done, whether it be good or bad. So our walk is individual. And in Hebrews 12:1, we see that the writer of the letter to the Hebrews wrote, "Let us run with patience the race that is set before us." This means endurance with steadfastness. And, interestingly enough, in Philippians 2:12, this phrase that Paul used, "work out," that's the Greek word katergazomai, which means actually to work to completion. It's like working out a contract. You enter into a contract, you work on that contract until that contract is complete. Well, likewise, what Paul is writing to the Philippians is that we work out our salvation until the end, until our last day on this earth. This is not a long... this race as a Christian is a long-distance race. It's not a 100-yard dash. And we walk one path. In John 14:6, Jesus saith unto him, "I am the way," and that's the Greek word hodos, "the truth and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." Jesus said we have one course. We have one way of conducting our life. And interestingly enough, hodos does mean metaphorically a course of conduct. And in these citations I have up on the screen in the book of Acts, they reference the way. For instance, in the 9th chapter, that if he found any that were of the way. In the 19th chapter, there arose no small stir concerning the way. In the 22nd chapter, "And I persecuted this way unto the death." And in the 24th chapter, "But this I confess unto thee, that after the way which they call a sect," and the last reference in the 24th chapter, "but Felix, having a more exact knowledge concerning the way." We have one path. We have one walk. You see, our walk is an action. Our walk is forward. Our walk is according to the standard. Our walk is straight and well lit. Our walk is individual with endurance for a lifetime. Our walk is on one path only. And we don't want to close this evening without offering the invitation of Christ. And now, if you're outside of Christ, now is the only time you have to start your walk, to change your mind, to change your life, and then to change your state, to change your mind, to change your life by hearing the Word of God, just as people did in New Testament times, to believe that Jesus is the Son of God, to repent of your sins, to confess that He is the Son of God, and then to change your state by being baptized into Christ, into the one body, into the one church you read about in the New Testament. And if you've done that, but you haven't walked on that straight path, if your walk hasn't been moving forward, if you've walked a crooked path after the flesh, not according to the Spirit, you have opportunity this evening to correct that. Now is your opportunity to correct your walk. And we invite you to respond to the invitation of Christ as we stand and sing the song which has been selected. For the ride, up his banner in the thickest fight, listening for his orders, ready to obey.
Who will Jesus, serving him today? Who will follow Jesus? Who will make reply? I'm on the Lord's side, Master, here am I. Who will follow Jesus? Who will make reply? I'm on the Lord's side, Master, here am I. Who will follow Jesus in life's busy ways? Working for the Master, giving him the praise. Earnest in his vineyard, honoring his laws. Faithful to his counsel, watchful for his cause. Who will follow Jesus? Who will make reply? I am on the Lord's side, Master, here am I. Who will follow Jesus? Who will make reply?